186.
Sacred Harp Singers, an American musical tradition.
186.
There's no such thing as Sacred Harp music. This music is old Baptist music, old Methodist music, Presbyterians. It's all types of music. It's in the Baptist book, Methodist book, and the Sacred Harp is merely the name of our songbook that was first published in 1844 by two Georgians, B.F. White and E.J. King. And when they got the book compiled, they wanted a name for it, and so they named it the Sacred Harp.
The music may be traditional, but the sound is unfamiliar to most Americans. It's a vocal style that harkens back to the psalm-singing schools of 18th century New England, although it survives as an active tradition today only in certain parts of the South, notably Georgia and Alabama. All the music heard on this program was recorded at a Sacred Harp singing in Bremen, Georgia, a typical gathering of the ordinary people who have one extraordinary thing in common: their love for this old music. The interviews were recorded at Bremen and at the 75th Annual Convention of the United Sacred Harp Musical Association at the Rocky Mount Primitive Baptist Church in Arab, Alabama. The music just heard was Sherburn, page 186 of the Sacred Harp Songbook, with words by Alexander Pope's old nemesis Nahum Tate and music by New Englander Daniel Reed, written in 1793. In just a moment, another 18th century hymn, Sweet Affliction, number 145, with words by Samuel Pierce and tuned by John J. Rousseau. I'm Cleve Callison, and I invite you to join me for a sampling of the music of the Sacred Harp Singers. Holly Springs Primitive Baptist Church. Two things strike an observer immediately at a Sacred Harp singing convention. One is what can only be called the eerie sound the singers produce, and the other is the sheer volume, the intensity of that sound. On almost any given Sunday in rural Alabama and Georgia, usually at a Primitive Baptist church, there'll be a Sacred Harp singing, Dozens of people who've come sometimes hundreds of miles to sing at the top of their voices songs that they've sung since childhood, songs first published over 100 years ago in the Sacred Harp Songbook. I asked one of the leaders at Holly Springs, Hugh McGraw, to explain what produces that unusual sound.
Well, Cleve, we sang six-part harmony, and we set in a box or a hollow square shape. For instance, men and women sang the tenor or the melody part. Men and women sang the treble, Cliff. And then only women sang alto and only men sang bass. By them, men and women dubbing the tenor and treble gives us an octave harmony there, which gives a six-part harmony. The leader stands in the middle of the square facing the lead part, which is sang by men and women. This is the melody of the song. They are sitting right in front of the leader. And then to his left is treble. Men and women sings this part. And on his right is bass, men only. And to the rear is altos, sang by ladies only. In the middle of that square, that's where all the sound comes. And see, everybody's patting their feet, beating time with their arms, and they get in the spirit of the singing, and they get a feeling for it. Everyone is invited to lead. A lot of people don't lead, but they are invited to lead and sing two pieces of their own selection.
Now, I saw you leading one earlier today. You also have composed some Sacred Harp songs, have you not?
Yes, I have four songs in the new 1971 edition, a revision.
As well, some of your songs go back especially to the 18th century.
That's right.
People like Charles Wesley, Isaac Watts.
Well, they were hymn writers. The numbers of the of our songs, they wrote the words to them. But now we sing, the music has been set by another one, writer, like William Billings, who was the first composer of sacred music in the United States. Daniel Reed in 1776. Bartholomew Brown, Jeremiah Ingalls, along about 1800s. A lot of their music still being sung today.
And although this is a southern form of music nowadays, it originally started in New England, at least part of it did, with Billings and others.
That's right. It started in New England and moved southward and westward. And now it's sung in almost all the states in the United States.
268.
David the King was free and blue.
What to God I had died.
tell me a little bit about what we mean by shape note. What does that term refer to?
Now, the shape notes is a method of teaching beginners how to sing. The shapes are, the fa is a triangular, and sol is round note, and la is square note, and mi is diamond shape. The fa, sol, la is doubled to make up the scale. Fa, sol, la, fa, sol, la, mi, fa. And the mi is a leading note between major and minor, and it's only used one time. Now, years later, another system of shape note singing come out, which was the seven shapes. It was a do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. But it becomes such a tradition with the Sacred Harp singers that we would sing the shapes to the beginners to learn the tune, and we got to where that we just do it every Sunday. We sing the shapes first, and then it's just a tradition for us to do it.
And that's where the name fa, sol, la singers comes from.
That's right.
When did you begin singing and leading?
Well, I began singing in 1952 or early 53. I used to go to singing when I was a kid with my father, but I'd stay outdoors and help him sell soft drinks at the drink stand and play around the house, and I wouldn't go in. So in 1953, I walked into this church, and this sound just hit me, and I knew I had come home.
Oh,
What kind of people are here today?
This is the all denomination, Catholics, Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, they were all here today singing.
Why do they sing it?
Because they love it. It's a singing is a form of worship. It's I don't know how to describe the music that you make and why you do it, but there's nothing that stirs the emotion of the soul more than music. See, they're singing. You see, they sing for their own enjoyment. That's reading in a hollow square. The sound goes to the middle. If they was in one big choir, they couldn't hear one of those parts. But the congregation could hear it. But they're not singing the congregation. They're singing to entertain themselves. They're a very close, tied group of people. If you notice how they go about hugging necks and shaking hands, and now they'll do the same thing over again tomorrow. And if they see one another Monday, they do the same thing. In each singing, they have a dinner on the ground for everybody's enjoyment. I want you to introduce this.
Okay, I do have some guests with me today. And they are Jerry Ryan and his wife, Kay. Raise your hand or stand up. Kay's right over here.
Oh.
Yeah, she's over here. And Andy McGinnis and his wife, Jeannie, sitting right there behind him. And these are not really new friends of mine. I've been fans of theirs for a long time. They belong to a group from Birmingham that are fine entertainers called Three on the String. I know some of y'all have seen them on television and heard of them at the Bluegrass Festival. They've been interested in Sacred Heart for a real long time, but just didn't know where they could get to it. They are fine singers, and we want to see that they become fine Sacred Harp singers, and there's no doubt about it that they can. They are well on their way.
They already have.
He's been sitting by Andy all day. We really are glad to have him here, and they're fine folks as well as fine entertainers, and I'm delighted that they are interested in Sacred Harp. Has Hallelujah been sung?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can do it again, though.
Just a few minutes.
Might
have to do it again. Yeah. Just a few minutes.
388.
Happy
Sailor?
No, ma'am.
All right, 388. Tom Denson was my maternal grandfather, and my paternal grandfather, my father's father, was buried yesterday. And, of course, in the eyes of grandchildren, all grandparents are important. And I'm sure that lots have been sung to the Densons today. I'd kind of like to sing this one for my granddaddy Malden today. Let's sing the first and the third.
And sing a note.
And sing a note.
So far, so far, so far, so far.
Hugh McGraw is Executive Secretary of the Sacred Harp Publishing Company, and although you will hear his voice often calling out the numbers of the songs, he is not choosing them. The individual leaders do that, dozens of them. We just heard Happy Sailor, page 388, written by Benjamin Franklin White, author of the 1844 Sacred Harp. During the conversation with Hugh McGraw, we heard Vernon, page 95, by Charles Wesley and L. Chapin, David's Lamentation, page 268, by William Billings, Exhilaration, page 170, Panting for Heaven, page 384, and Raymond, page 441. For most of these songs, the melodies were composed in the 19th century to words written in the 18th, and several of them, as the last three, have alto parts written in 1911 by Seaborn M. Denson, author of an important edition of the Sacred Harp. In fact, the original Sacred Harp, Denson Revision, to give it its proper title, is usually referred to as the Denson Book. And now, more songs and voices of the Sacred Harp singers assembled in Bremen, Georgia.
Page
535.
She's outside playing.
535.
Oh,
what is your name, sir?
Carl Hughes.
May I ask you how old you are, sir?
72 years old.
Mm-hmm. What kind of memories does it bring back when you come to a convention like this?
Well, back memories like I used to go to them singings. I led the first lesson at a 3-day singing convention when I was 12-year-old and barefooted. Mm-hmm. And house was full of this larger church than this, and it was full of people. The first day, all 3 days, that was back in horse and buggies and wagon days. There wasn't many cars back then. But they had some mighty good singers, mm-hmm. just like this we're having today. I went to one last Sunday. It was just about as large as this out on Straight Mountain, Alabama. And they had shouting there and just as singing like this. And boy, I'm telling you, you could really feel the Spirit of the Lord there. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it.
What do you mean by shouting? Is that something?
That's not something you do when you can't help it. Just uh-huh. go to shouting. You not ever hear anybody shout?
Not at a Sacred Harp singing, no.
At church? Well, you don't know how it feels then.
381. We're going to have a little short recess. I've got two more new books. I got a few minutes. I got a couple more long play albums, and I got about six of the story of the Sacred Heart by Bill Cobb. And you can get one of these recessed. Charlene Wallace, open it up at recess.
Y'all come back.
A sacred harp singing is a blend of old and new cultures. Many of the singers are elderly, and the Holly Springs Church, a small frame church surrounded by red clay and pine trees, is a typical country church in rural Georgia. It's primitive in more than one way. There's no inside plumbing. Yet, the transportation is more likely to be a late model Buick than a pickup truck, and the I-20 to Atlanta is only 100 yards away. There were young people here. What would you tell me your name?
Lisa Wooden.
Lisa, how old are you?
10.
You were up there leading the people in the singing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide which songs you're going to choose?
There's just a couple I like to sing.
Uh-huh. And what are they? What are the ones you like?
63, Carnation, 37 on the bottom, Liverpool, and 73. On the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Are there many people your age who lead the singers? Or you don't know of anybody who's quite as young as you?
Yeah, my sister.
197.
Lonnie Rogers.
97.
You followed her.
Love.
During a lunch break at the 75th Annual Convention of the United Sacred Harp Musical Association, I spoke with Buell Cobb of Mobile, Alabama. A former teacher of history, Mr. Cobb has both an emotional and an intellectual interest in the Sacred Harp tradition. He himself participates in the singings and has written a book, published in 1978 by the University of Georgia Press, The Sacred Harp, A Tradition and Its Music. Did you grow up with Sacred Harp music, or did you get into it after?
I really grew up all around it, but never knew much about it. I had to go away to school, as so many people do, to discover what was back home, and traced it back to my hometown, Coleman, Alabama, which was a real center of Sacred Harp singing at the time, and became
interested. That's where the Sacred Harp Publishing Company is located, isn't it?
It has been located there, mm-hmm. That's correct, yes. And I picked up a book and learned to sing, and gradually I got interested in trying to find out something about the history of the tradition, and was frustrated to find that there wasn't much in the history books or in the music history books. Mm-hmm. And ultimately I've been able to find leads to the people who did know the things that were going on in the South while the Sacred Harp was flourishing, as it once did.
And you're not just an observer of Sacred Harp, you're a participant.
That's right.
Because
I saw
you leading to the songs.
Yes, right. I'm really very fond of the music, fond of the people, and fond of the tradition itself.
Watch it now.
First time you got up in front of a group to lead one?
I've seen many people who are sophisticated in music come before a group of Sacred Harp singers, and the fear always grips them because they're in the midst of people who know what they're doing. That's very different from other types of music. And it's actually very exciting to be in front of a group with the kind of intensity that they sing with.
At the same time, they seem to be extraordinarily good-natured about it and really pulling for the people who are leaders.
Right, very, very receptive, and it's often been said that you don't actually have to lead when you get before them. You just stand up there, and they will sing it the way they always do anyway.
It's really democratic kind of music in a way, isn't it? Everybody.
It really is. Everyone is expected to participate if they want to and can. Each leader comes before the group and gets to sing a couple of songs of his own choosing, and anyone can sing without audition. It is very, very democratic.
On 54 top.
I'm not ashamed to run. Oh.
What about the state of it as far as where it's going? Is the popularity of Sacred Harp increasing, or is this something that's associated with the old rural
culture? There's an interesting thing going on. Both things are true. It is associated with the old rural culture, and to the extent that that is withering away, then Sacred Harp is also. It's been passed on generally by families, and people who grow up in it love the music and return to it with age many times, even though they've been away from it in their earlier life. But that part of the rural South is going, and an interesting thing is happening whereby people from out of the South and young people, and particularly from other parts of the country, are becoming interested in it, coming down, getting books, learning to sing, and spreading it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a real revival of it going on in New England at this time, in California and in other states.
One of the things that struck me when I pulled into the parking lot this morning is that the parking lot was not full of pickup trucks, but it's full of late model cars and big late model cars, so prosperity has come in.
Yes, I think that's true, and most of the singers put their money where their values are. They need a good car to get to Sacred Harp singings, mm-hmm. and if that means buying a tape recorder and a nice car to do it, then they will do that.
How many of these singings do you attend a year, would you estimate?
Oh, maybe 20. Mm-hmm. It really, really depends. I get to singings as often as I can.
What part do you sing when you sing?
The treble part. It's actually the highest part. It's like a tenor part in other music. It's sung by both men and women, as the melody is. Mm-hmm. But it actually rides above the melody part.
No. 300. I like it.
My thoughts and thoughts and thoughts, the sky and the circle will be deep.
It's very unusual music in that each part is more melodic than in conventional congregational song, where all of the parts are printed on the two staves. Here, every part is printed on the staff and can go high or low and take a sort of melody of its own, a counter melody. So it makes it very interesting for the singers.
It's really like Baroque music, in a sense, contrapuntal, would you say?
It really is, very much like the madrigals in Elizabethan England, and also then the harmonies remind you of the music that we hear from the medieval time. So the roots of this tradition obviously go back very far, even though all of that kind of crystallized and fused in the South in the mid-1800s.
Could you explain to me what a fuguing tune is?
Right. Well, someone has once described it as that kind of music in which the parts come in one after the other and the listeners go out the door once after the other. But I think Sacred Harp singers don't find that to be true. They really enjoy it and find it interesting, interesting music. It's like a round, one part coming in and assuming perhaps a part of the melody or at least something to sing by themselves, one after the other.
I knew that some of the 18th century music, William Billings and others, was written in that fashion.
Right.
But I also noticed as they were singing this afternoon that some of the ones in the 1960 version of the book were written in that fashion also, some of the more recent ones, in other words, written during the 50s.
Right. That the tradition of both singing and composing in that music has held on here. It's still very much the same. It's changed little in well over 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And some of the composers are, in fact, in the group today.
Right. They're all still writing music. And I think the strength of this tradition will hold as long as people like that are interested in writing music in that same fashion.
'Strength of the tradition will depend upon singings like this where people actually participate. Is it possible, in other words, to keep this going on a concert stage, or does it really need this kind of environment?
I think it really needs this kind of environment. It's not a music that anyone can casually come by and sing. It's really a little difficult to acquire for the average person, I think. And there's a whole tradition of singing schools behind this whereby Sacred Harp singers are taught to lead, to sing part singing, to read music, mm-hmm. And then the singing brings all of that together.
4-4-2.
Living green.
Isn't it true that recently musicologists have begun to investigate the shape note as a kind of pedagogical tool?
Right, and I think have discovered what has been true there all along, that people who learn to sing by means of shape notes can acquire it faster and easier and holds with them better than many other methods.
There was, it looked like a five-year-old girl sitting in front of me just now who looked as if she were singing all of the words and all of the fa sol la's just from memory.
Right.
And I thought that was rather amazing.
Right, it is. It's a very amazing tradition.
Buell Cobb, author of The Sacred Harp, A Tradition and Its Music, published by the University of Georgia Press. Sacred harp singing is not a professional gathering. These are simply people who love this old music. For some, it's always been a part of their lives. For others, its very antiquity is new. It's not specifically a religious service. There are no sermons, and at Holly Springs anyway, no testimony and only one simple prayer at the end. And yet for many, perhaps for all in some ways, it's a profoundly religious experience. Mac Wooten.
I don't know. I don't even know what kind of fella I am as myself. I tell them so much of the time, I don't even know. I'm a stranger even to myself. But there's so much of the time that I get on the floor that I've always seemed like I've just got to say something. The Sacred Harp and the words of the songs, it tells so much of our experience of travel, of Christian life, you see, of being of Christ. I'm an emotional feller. Can't help it. I get so overjoyed within. A lot of times I cry and just get a thrill out of it. I enjoy meeting the people and I enjoy the fellowship. The fellowship is within and without, mm-hmm. You see. And I get joy out of it. I just get great joy out of it. It is thrills the inward, well, it thrills the soul of man. Now, that's the way I'd put it, sort of.
340. Wonderful things have been our
You've been listening to Sacred Harp Singers, a program about a Southern musical tradition. The music was recorded at a Sacred Harp singing at Holly Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Bremen, Georgia, as were the interviews with Lisa Wooten, Carl Hughes, Mack Wooten, and Hugh McGraw. Parts of the interview with Hugh McGraw and all of the interview with Buell Cobb were recorded at a singing at the Rocky Mount Primitive Baptist Church in Arab, Alabama. Producer and host for this program has been Cleve Callison. I'll close with one last example of Sacred Harp singing. Number 314 of the Sacred Harp Songbook, Claiborne, is Seaborn Denson's setting of a favorite hymn of the Sacred Harp singers, and an appropriate ending for this program. Written by Edward Perronet in 1779, it's a traditional song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.